From time to time, I always feel it's important to give a little bit of background between that great hymn that we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Those words do come from the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah is writing Lamentations because he's lamenting the destruction of the city of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. Now, the reason God has allowed the Babylonians to destroy the city of Jerusalem has been because the nation of Judah had been continuing to grow in their rebellion and their sin against God. And it reached a point where God would no longer tolerate it under the king Manasseh. And under the king Manasseh, they were freely offering up their children to the god of Molech, offering their little babies up to the fires of the god of Molech. And God said, that's it. Does not matter what repentance takes place. This nation will be judged. Jeremiah was telling the nation they would be judged. Jeremiah was telling them that the Babylonians were going to come and destroy them. The people laughed at him. The people mocked him. And the destruction came. Extreme famine. The people of Jerusalem went through. Jeremiah was right there experiencing the extreme famine. And the famine was so great that the most delicate women within the city were consuming their babies for food. That's how bad it was when Jeremiah wrote those words, Great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies are new every morning. And you read later on in Lamentations chapter 3 and you can understand why. Later on in Lamentations chapter 3, he says, basically paraphrasing, what right have I got to complain in view of my sin? He understood his own sin, even in the most degrading, despicable, unbelievable times of suffering. And he is able to say, Great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are new every morning. Certainly Jeremiah was one who was regenerated. He was one who lived according to the rule of spiritual renewal. And that's going to be the title of our message this morning, Striving According to the Rule of Spiritual Renewal. Look with me in the book of Galatians chapter 6, and let's start in verse 12. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Again, the title of the message this morning is Striving According to the Rule of Spiritual Renewal. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come into your presence and we give you thanks in all things. For this is your will for us, to give thanks in all things. We recognize, Lord, that the world is filled with suffering. The world is filled with wickedness. The world is filled with sorrow and struggle and hardship. And yet, Lord, we continue to come to you and we praise you, Almighty God, because you are sovereign over it all. Certainly we can give you thanks because you are sovereign over it all. Certainly we can give you thanks because, Lord, as this world grows in its vileness and wickedness, it continues to cause us to turn to you. And because of the constant renewing of the spirit of our mind that your Holy Spirit is doing, we can continue to grow in Christ's likeness. And because of the constant renewing of our minds, we can continue to worship and to praise you, and we can find reason to give thanks. Lord, there is no one who can live the Christian life apart from the constant renewing of the spirit of the mind. No one can live the Christian life apart from the constant regenerating work of your Holy Spirit. We must learn how to strive. And it is a striving, Father. It is a striving. But it's not a striving in our own strength. It's not a striving according to our own strength. It is a striving according to the rule of spiritual renewal. Help us, Lord, this morning to understand how important it is that we depend upon you constantly renewing us spiritually every day, moment by moment. Help us, I pray, this morning to continue that process even as your word is proclaimed. In Christ's name, amen. Last week in chapter 15, we were looking at the reality of having an understanding of the cross. As we have studied the cross throughout all of December and the first part of January, we can see that in the cross there are many, many blessings. The first and maybe the foremost blessing is redemption. The forgiveness of your sins comes through the work of Christ on the cross. And as we continue to contemplate the cross, we begin to understand that the greatest manifestation of the love of God is seen on the cross. We continue to study the cross and we can understand that we can have peace with God. We can be at peace with God. The enmity that our sin has caused us to have between us and God is removed because of the work of the cross. We can have peace with God and we can live with the peace of God. We can have the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace of God. And that is the only way that we have any opportunity to live at peace with one another. The biblical concept of peace, where there's not just the cessation of hostilities, but there is the absolute removal of enmity. Husbands and wives can live in harmony. Because the enmity that naturally exists between a man and a woman because of sin, because of the fall, that enmity can be abolished because of the peace of God a man and a wife can have. They can live at peace with one another. And we continue to study the cross and we come to understand that the cross reveals to us the glory of God, the summation of all the eternal attributes of God. There's so many blessings that are ours because of the cross. What is the reality of all this? How do we obtain these blessings? How can we experience these blessings? Paul makes it very clear in verse 15, well, it's not by circumcision. Using circumcision as just a representative of anyone that would think that they can be good enough to earn these blessings, that there might be something they could do to earn these blessings. And then he also says, but it's not by uncircumcision either. And that's kind of a strange thought. Well, if it's not by circumcision, then certainly uncircumcision must mean something. Well, basically, he's saying there that you can't go walk around and say, well, I'm not trusting in my works, therefore I'm good. No, we would naturally think that Paul would say that what you need is faith. Because listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, or Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. You're not justified by works of the law, you're justified by faith in Christ Jesus. He says here, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we are justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. We're justified by faith in Christ and not the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So when he says the way to receive all of these great blessings is not by circumcision or uncircumcision, we would naturally expect him to say the way to receive it is by faith. Faith is what you need. But that's not what he says. He says, what matters? In verse 15, what matters is, are you a new creation? Are you a new creation? You see, you can express faith in God and not be a new creation. The demons believe in God and they shudder. There's going to come a time when people will stand before the righteous judgment of Jesus Christ and they will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name work miracles? And the Lord's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. They said, Lord, Lord. They believed Jesus was Lord. What was the problem? The problem was, is they were not new creatures. They were not born again. They were not regenerated. So what we understand is the utmost important thing to realize when you contemplate the cross is you must be born again. You must be regenerated. And we looked at last week at how this being born again, this regeneration takes place when the Holy Spirit renews the spirit of your mind. He renews your mind in such a way that you can begin to understand spiritual truth the way God understands spiritual truth. You can begin to understand the holiness of God like God understands His holiness. You can begin to understand the heinous nature of your sin as God understands the heinous nature of your sin. You begin to understand that your sin offends a holy God. You begin to understand the justice of God, that every one of your sins justly deserves an eternal damnation. You begin to understand your sin the way God understands your sin. There's nothing you can do about it. You begin to understand what God has done for your sin the way God understands what He has done for your sin. He has put your sins on His Son and poured out the wrath that you justly deserved upon His Son. You see, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you cannot comprehend that until the Holy Spirit regenerates your mind, renews your mind. So in that instance, you understand it all. In that instant, you repent and put faith in Jesus Christ, and you become a true child of God. And what Paul is telling us this morning is Paul is telling us that we must live according to that rule of spiritual renewal. You must strive in this life according to the rule, to the standard of the absolute necessity of spiritual renewal. And he says here in verse 16, those who walk by this rule. You see, it's not just an initial experiencing of the spiritual renewal. It is a constant walking by the rule of spiritual renewal. It is understanding that you cannot live one day of your life, 1 hour of your life, 1 moment of your life in a manner that glorifies God if you are not constantly being renewed in the spirit of your mind. We mentioned that the Holy Spirit regenerates you, renews the spirit of your mind, and at that very moment you understand your sin, you understand God's holiness, you understand judgment, you understand your predicament, you understand your need for a Savior, and you put faith in Jesus Christ. But that regenerating that God is doing in your mind, He is granting you a repentance unto knowledge. There is a repentance that takes place there. And that repentance has a lot to do with how you view your sin. Let me just give you some insights on what true repentance looks like. True repentance recognizes the true heinous nature of sin. It is an offense against God. You see, true repentance doesn't exist just when you realize, oh, I've got myself in a lot of trouble. I've sinned and I've got myself in a lot of trouble. I'm experiencing some pretty harsh experiences from that sin right now. I want to get rid of this, so I'm going to repent of my sin. No, true repentance recognizes the heinous offense sin is against the holiness of God. True repentance recognizes the justice of sin being punished. True repentance realizes it's not man that I've sinned against. It's not man's laws that I've broken. It's not the consequence of breaking man's laws that I need to be worried about. It's not the consequence of an interpersonal relationship that has gone bad because I hurt or offended or harmed someone. That's not what I need to be worried about. I need to be worried about the fact that I have broken God's holy law. And when I break God's holy law, there is a just punishment for breaking that holy law. True repentance is deeply ashamed of one's sin and wishes that it had never happened. It's not that they wish that it had never happened so they would not have to experience the negative consequences of that sin, but they wish it would have never have happened because they realize what they've done to God. They are truly ashamed of their sin and wished it had never happened. True repentance recognizes the need to be cleansed from their sin. Oh, I just want to be cleansed. Cleanse me. Wash me. Make me new. Cleanse me. True repentance recognizes that only God can cleanse from sin. True repentance cries out to God to be merciful. Have compassion on me, O God, the sinner. And wash me. Wash me. Make me pure. Make me white. Make me right again. True repentance recognizes that God's cleansing of sin is not deserved. You do not deserve to be cleansed of your sin. You see, true repentance recognizes that. True repentance longs to be made pure in the sight of God. See, that's what true repentance looks like. There is not a human being on the face of the earth that will ever express true repentance apart from spiritual renewal, apart from the Holy Spirit regenerating the mind to understand what sin is really like, and to grant the desire to truly repent. In fact, I believe that we live the rest of our Christian lives growing in our understanding of the importance of repentance. Because we will grow in our understanding of the holiness of God. And as we grow in our understanding of the holiness of God, we grow in our understanding of the wretchedness of our sin. And we grow in our understanding of how shamed we are because we sin. We grow in our understanding how desperately we need cleansing. We grow in our understanding that only God can cleanse me of these sins. We grow in our comprehension of repentance. You repent and you put faith in Jesus Christ. You confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. You put faith in what he did on the cross. You put faith in the promise that if you trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that God will put the righteousness of Christ upon you and you will be made right in the sight of God. You never become right in the sight of God. You never do anything to become right, but God makes you right. He made Christ to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of Christ in the sight of God. You see, that's the initial outworking of spiritual renewal. That's the first act of one who has been spiritually renewed. And what does it bring? What does it bring? Paul tells us right there in verse 16, peace and mercy be upon them. Those who walk according to this rule, who understand the importance of spiritual renewal, and who have expressed their understanding of the importance of spiritual renewal by truly repenting and putting faith in Christ, peace and mercy be upon them. Mercy is the removal of suffering. Mercy is the bringing to the end of affliction. What is the suffering that the person who has just been spiritually renewed is suffering? What is the affliction? It is the suffering and the affliction of the guilt of their sin. It is the suffering and the affliction. Oh, my Creator God, my Holy God, I have sinned against you. I, like Isaiah would say, am a man of unclean lips. Cursed am I. I am undone. Everything that I thought I had held together, everything that I thought my life meant, it means nothing to me. I stand in the presence of your holiness, and I am overwhelmed with a sense of guilt and shame. You repent, you put faith in Christ, and the Holy Spirit removes that shame, removes that guilt. You're made new. The mercy of God, taking away the affliction of the guilt of sin. It is removed. David says sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. It is gone. You are now made right in the sight of God. And what peace. What peace that brings. Peace that is beyond comprehension because it follows after the renewing of the spirit of your mind that just opens your eyes up to the enmity that's between you and God, to the war that's between you and God, to the impossibility of knowing God. And you're overwhelmed with this fear of the holiness and the justice of God. And in the very moment you put faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in you and makes you a new creature in Christ. And there's peace. Peace that's beyond all comprehension. If we're going to strive according to the rule of the spiritual renewal, we need to negate striving according to the rule of self-declared rights. There are far too many people that are striving according to the rule of self-declared rights. They have declared themselves to have rights in this earth. I have a right to be treated a certain way. I have a right to a job. I have a right to a house. I have a right to health care. I have a right to prosperity. I have a right to do whatever I want with my body. And this is not just unbelievers, I find out this morning. This is even those who claim to be followers of Christ. Why, if I want to get an abortion, it is my womb. I can do whatever I want with it. It is my self-declared right. You see, they are living according to the rule of self-declared right, and that has to be totally negated, completely negated. There is no living according to the rule of self-declared rights in the Christian faith. You have no rights in the Christian faith. It is only those who deny themselves and take up their cross and follow after Christ who can be the disciples and the followers of Jesus Christ. If you do not deny yourself, you cannot be a follower of Christ. First and foremost, you must come to understand life is not about you. The glory and the beauty of the Christ, of the cross, is the cross has liberated you from you so that you can live for Christ. The cross enables you to die yourself. The cross enables you to negate all those self-declared rights. You have no rights. Let go of your rights. Let go of living for yourself and live for Jesus Christ. That is humanly impossible. There is no human on the face of the earth who's going to be able to negate all their self-declared rights. How is it possible? You must live. You must strive according to the rule of spiritual renewal. Who is the one who can negate self-declared rights? It is the one whom the Holy Spirit is constantly renewing. You gave up your rights when you trusted in Christ. The rest of your Christian life is a constant giving up of your rights. You may have to give up of your rights every day. You may find yourself in a position where you've got to continue to negate your self-declared rights moment by moment. You need the constant working of the Holy Spirit renewing your mind, helping you to negate living according to the rule of self-declared rights. There's another rule that we tend to live by. It is the rule of self-imposed will. Self-imposed will. There are some who have a stronger sense of self-imposed will than others. If you begin to watch sports networks around this time of the Super Bowl, you're going to see documentaries on the self-imposed will of these great athletes. They are men of determination. They are men of grit. They live by the saying, tough times don't last, but tough people do. You will hear some say, be a man. This world will give you nothing. You must earn it and go after it. Just have faith. Just trust. It will happen. You see, they have a self-imposed will. They have a will. And I would tell you as a Christian that that's not something you need to negate. But it is definitely something you need to regulate. I would not tell you if you have that God-given inner determination. And there are some people who have it more than others. If you want to call it the it that makes a person succeed, there are some who naturally have been given this it that causes them to drive and causes them to succeed. But if you are going to be one who pleases God, you must regulate that under the rule of spiritual renewal. You must take all of your determination, all of your grit, and bring it under the power of the Holy Spirit. You must regulate it to the working of the Holy Spirit, to where all of your striving, all of your working is being done for the glory of God. What you want to know is God's plan for your life, so that you may work out God's plan for your life, God's way to God's glory. Then you take all that determination that is a part of your physical DNA, that determination that God has given you. You take it. You figure out what God wants you to do with your life. You do it His way. You do it to His glory. But you must be relying upon the rule of spiritual renewal. Sometimes, far too many Christians, when they think about relying upon God, it's more of a just let go and let God. Just sit back and let it happen. And that's not what it is. You must use what God has given you, but you must use it under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control all that you are doing. We see examples of what it means to strive according to the rule of spiritual renewal in Philippians. Just turn in your Bibles a few pages to the right to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look with me in verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, here comes the striving. And I'm using the term striving over living because I want us to understand that it is a striving. Hebrews describes the life of faith as the race of faith as an agony. It is agonizing. This race that we are called to run, this race of faith, this race is an agony. It is a striving. Paul writes here, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is the striving. We are to strive to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But now look at the next verse, because in the next verse, you see the rule of spiritual renewal. You see it right there in verse 13. Why are you to strive? For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You see, God is working within you. Through the rule of spiritual renewal, God is showing you what His will is. Through the rule of spiritual renewal, God is giving you the ability to work that will out. So you strive, you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is renewing you and causing you to constantly understand what the will of God is, causing you to constantly have the desire to follow it. And as that Spirit is renewing you, constantly renewing you, you are to strive to live according to what's going on inside of you. Some of us have been really enjoying our study in the book of Hebrews. It has been just a thrill to see the supremacy of Christ as we've looked at the book of Hebrews during our family Bible hour over the last few years. We spent a lot of time in chapter 11. Chapter 11 is that great chapter of God's Word that gives us the hall of faith. It gives us examples of all sorts of men and women from the Old Testament that expressed faithfulness under the most difficult times. Shows us events where faithfulness was expressed. And then you come to chapter 12, and in chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews is exhorting his readers to run the race that is set before them, to run the agony that is set before them, to run the agony of faith and to live out the faithfulness. And as you continue to follow the book of Hebrews, you begin to see that God is disciplining. He's disciplining people in order to strengthen that faith. All that is a work of the Holy Spirit, renewing the spirit of your mind that you might come to understand who God is. That's one of the primary purposes of God's discipline in our lives. And God disciplines us so that we will be assets in the furthering of His kingdom. God disciplines us so that we won't be detrimental to the furthering of His kingdom. And as God disciplines us, the Spirit-renewing work of the Holy Spirit is causing us to understand who God is. That's why the Apostle Paul said, 3 times I pleaded that you would take this away from me, but your sufficiency is enough. You see, God was teaching Paul through discipline what it was to understand the sufficiency of Christ. And not only did God's discipline instruct him through the renewing of the work of the Holy Spirit, but God's discipline through the renewing of the work of the Holy Spirit protected him. As he was suffering, he was learning not to be prideful. His suffering was being used by God to protect him from pride. His suffering was being used by God to teach him more of God. And of most importance, the discipline of God will correct us. God loves us far too much to leave us living in sin, so He disciplines us. He brings difficulties in our life. And through those difficulties, the renewing work of the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. The renewing work of the Holy Spirit causes us once again to understand the heinous nature of our sin. And the renewing work of the Holy Spirit causes us once again to express true repentance or repentance, and causes us not to put faith in Jesus Christ unto salvation, but to trust the promises of God that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and we have a renewed relationship once again with our Creator. You see, this is how the Holy Spirit uses the sufferings in our lives to continue to cause us to become more and more like Christ. This is how the Holy Spirit, through the constant renewing of the spirit of our mind, through constant spiritual renewal, this is how He enables us to run the agony of the race of faith. You must strive according to the rule of spiritual renewal. You must be totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit renewing the spirit of your mind. Paul runs the race of faith in such a way as not without aim. He boxes in such a way as not beating air. What does he mean by that? This is not just a practice run. This is the real thing. I'm not just boxing air here. I'm not just warming up. I'm not just strengthening my muscles. This is the real thing. He runs the race as if it is a real thing. He disciplines his body and makes it his slave so that after he has preached to others, he himself will not be disqualified. He is striving to be conformed to the truth he preaches in order that he might not, in order to strive according to the rule of the spiritual of renewal. He's striving according to the truth that he preaches that he might continue to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and that he too might live out that truth, that he too would not be disqualified. He forgets what lies behind. He reaches forward to what lies ahead. He presses on towards the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. He is striving, but all the time during his striving, he's relying upon the rule of spiritual renewal. He's relying upon the Holy Spirit to constantly be renewing the spirit of his mind. To strive according to the rule of spiritual renewal is to keep a blank list of unconfessed sins. If you want to be one that is striving according to the rule of spiritual renewal, you have no unconfessed sins on your list. All sins that you know, they are all confessed. You must be in constant confessing of sin in order to be striving according to the rule of spiritual renewal. To strive according to the rule of spiritual renewal is to daily die to self. You must daily die to self. You must daily take up your cross and follow Christ. You must daily deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Christ. It is to gird up your minds for action. It is to be sober in spirit. It is to fix your hope completely on the revelation to be revealed to you at the coming of Christ. That's what it means to strive according to the rule of spiritual renewal. You gird up your mind. You fix your eyes on the hope of the revelation to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. What's Peter talking about there? The same thing the Apostle Paul is talking about there. He is striving for the day when he receives his glorified body. That is your hope in life. That is what you are living for. You are living for the day when you will receive your glorified body. That's what it means to strive according to the rule of spiritual renewal. To strive according to the rule of spiritual renewal is to remember that you are being conformed into the image of Christ so that He might become the firstborn among many brethren. Remember why it is that God saved you from your sins. He saved you from your sins so that you might be conformed into the image of His Son, so that His Son would become the firstborn among many brethren. What does it mean for Jesus Christ to be the firstborn among many brethren? It means that He is the preeminent one. Understand that God is causing all things in your life to work together for your good, which is to cause you to become formed into the image of Jesus Christ. All of your suffering, all of your difficulties, all of your hardships are meant to conform you into the person of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ might be the preeminent one in your life and the preeminent one within the church. Now think about some of the sufferings that Christians go through. Think for a while about some of the horrific sufferings that Christians go through. The deaths that they experience, the loss of life, the loss of loved ones, the broken relationships, the martyrdom, the difficulties, the sufferings, the agony of life. Think about it. How on earth are you going to rejoice in those sufferings? How on earth are you going to be able to remember, well, this is all for my good. This is all for my good. This diagnosis of cancer in my life, it is for my good. God took my 3-month-old baby for my good. God allowed my husband to leave me for another woman for my good. God allowed my loved one to be put to death for the faith for my good. Yeah, for my good. How are you going to do that if it's not the Holy Spirit renewing you? So you must learn to live your life according to the rule, I need a daily renewing of the Holy Spirit. To live according to the rule of spiritual renewal is to understand that life is not about me. This is the most important thing you can tell anybody who's struggling in their life as a Christian. First of all, you ascertain whether they've ever been spiritually renewed or not. If they've been spiritually renewed, good luck trying to help them. If they have not been spiritually renewed, good luck trying to help them. But if they've been spiritually renewed, you listen, you empathize. If you are able to, you sympathize with their struggle. And you pray that God would give you the right words to say it. You pray that God would give you the right opportunity to say it. You pray that God would give you the courage to say it. But you tell them, life is not about you. He must increase and we must decrease. That's the foundational step to helping everybody who's struggling in their faith. Life is not about me. And you cannot live that in your own strength. You need to be daily renewed by the Holy Spirit to live according to that principle. Life is not about me. Why are you getting angry? Why are you getting bitter? Why do you have thoughts of vengeance? Why do you want to get even if life is not about you? Living according to the rule of spiritual renewal is to understand your greatest blessing in life is that undeserved salvation. Pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to cause you to understand the greatest blessing in life is your undeserved salvation. Pray that He continues to renew the spirit of your mind to understand how undeserving you are of salvation. Pray that He'll continue to cause you to remind yourself, it doesn't matter. I've been saved. I have forgiveness of sins. I have a relationship with the eternal Creator of the heavens and the earth. And that's another understanding of what it means to be ruled by the rule of spiritual renewal. It is to assess all the struggles in life, all the sufferings in life, all the difficulties in life, assess them according to your greatest blessing. Are you suffering? Are you in agony? Are you in misery? Assess that suffering. Take a hold of that suffering. Give thought to that suffering and weigh it against the greatest blessing of all, your undeserved salvation. And then rejoice in the Lord. In your own strength? No. You're striving according to the rule of spiritual renewal. Striving according to the rule of spiritual renewal is to understand you were chosen to suffer. You were chosen to suffer. Peter makes that so clear. Study the first epistle of Peter and understand how suffering is a part of the Christian life. Paul says, not only has it been granted you for Christ Jesus to believe in Him, but also to suffer in Him. It has been granted you for Christ's sake to suffer. Paul wanted to have fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. That is insane on a human level. But it's not insane for the one who's constantly being renewed by the Holy Spirit. They begin to look at everything different, even suffering. And then to understand that God is using that suffering to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. And if you are constantly being renewed by the Holy Spirit, you're going to want nothing more than to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And then you can, in faith and with a sense of soberness, embrace the suffering as something that God has granted you so you can become more like Jesus Christ. You see, this is not humanly possible. This is impossible in your own strength. Just as it was totally impossible for you to be forgiven of your sins because of your own strength, because of anything that you have ever done, it is impossible in your own strength. You must depend upon being spiritually renewed. If you're going to live the Christian life, you must live it the way you came to Christ, depending upon spiritual renewal. I want to leave you with just some verses to kind of help us. Look with me here in Proverbs chapter 3. These are verses that we know very well. But I believe these are verses that the Holy Spirit can continue to renew our understanding of and continue to help us to live more according to the truths of these verses. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the Lord's understanding in everything that you go through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Every decision you're making, acknowledge God. Acknowledge that He is the Creator. Acknowledge that He is sovereign. Acknowledge that He has a perfect plan for your life. Acknowledge your need to go to Him and ask Him what He thinks about the decision that you're going to make. Ask Him what He thinks about the person whom you're becoming interested in as maybe one day being your mate in life. Ask Him what He thinks about a move. Ask Him what He thinks about a change in job. Don't rely on your own understanding. Ask Him, what do you think, God? I've got this opportunity to take this new job. What do you think? What do you want me to do? I want to acknowledge you. And if you acknowledge Him, the Holy Spirit will renew the spirit of your mind to where you understand God's plan for your life in that situation, and He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. As we're seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit, it would be good for us to constantly be contemplating many of the verses in Psalms. These are just some that I like to refer to. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, Holy Spirit, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's any anxious thought within me. Is there any anxious thought within me? Where do anxious thoughts come from? Where does discontentment come from? It comes from a lack of faith in the Word of God. If I had faith in the Word of God in every situation, there'd be no anxiousness. Why am I getting anxiety in my life? It's because I'm beginning to doubt God. If I trusted Him all the time, there would be no anxious thoughts. What is the outpouring of anxious thoughts? What is the outpouring of discontentment? When we become anxious, when we become discontent, that's when we sin. You see, that's why King David asked the Lord to search him. Know my heart that is still desperately sick and deceitful above all else. Know it, Lord. Show me why I have anxiety over something that I may not even realize. Show it to me. Reveal it to me. Holy Spirit, do the work of renewal in my mind and in my heart and show me where I am still following my own path. I am not following your path. Show me where I'm not content with what you want me to do. And therefore I'm doing things in my own way. Show me that. And then he says, and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Show me those hurtful ways, Lord, and lead me in the everlasting way. Show me your plan. Show me what you have in store for me. Show me what your word says. Lead me in the everlasting way. Another good one is Psalm 19. I don't know if Carolyn Cooper is here or not this morning, but this is a psalm that her late husband Ralph really appreciated, really loved, talked a lot about. Psalm 19. Verse 14. As you're asking God to search your heart and to try you and to know your anxious thoughts and lead you in the way of everlasting, ask Him to help you let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in His sight. Hi, Carolyn. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. How are the words of your mouth? Think back this past week at the words that have come out of your mouth. Have they been acceptable in the sight of the Lord, the omniscient Lord, the omnipresent Lord? Have your words been acceptable to the Lord? Is He not your rock? Is He not your redeemer? How about the thoughts of your heart, the meditations of your heart, in the inner recesses of your mind where even your wife has no access, where even your husband has no access? Have those inner thoughts been pleasing to the Lord, your rock and your redeemer? See, are you striving according to the rule of spiritual renewal? If you are not striving according to the rule of spiritual renewal, you will not have peace. You will not have mercy. You may have forgiveness of sins, but you are not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give you. You will lack peace because God knows. He knows your heart. He knows the meditations of your mind. He knows the sin in your life. He will not give you peace. He will not grant you mercy. Are you striving according to the rule of spiritual renewal? Let's pray. Silently we stand in your presence, holy God. And we pray that you'd be pleased to continue to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Let there be no hidden sin in the dark recesses of our hearts. Discipline us until that hidden sin is confessed, until it is dealt with. Let us not fall prey to sins out there that we have not yet succumbed to. Discipline us in such a way that it protects us from pride and other such things. Father, by your grace, and certainly the spiritual renewing work that your Holy Spirit does is your grace, by your grace, continue to use all things in our lives to reveal to us who you are. As we grow in our knowledge of who you are, we trust that that knowledge will be used by the continually renewing work of your Holy Spirit to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And as we are conformed into the image of Jesus Christ and we come here and we gather together, we trust that this church would be a church where Christ is preeminent. As we think about the events of this past week, we understand, Lord, that our culture is in great need to truly see Christ, to truly understand you. There's a great need for spiritual renewal within this culture we live in. We continue to pray, Father, that we would live lives that your Spirit can use to bring about that spiritual renewal. We pray, Father, that we would have boldness to speak truth, that your Spirit can take that truth and bring about spiritual renewal in those who are dead in their sins, that they too might experience what we so have graciously been allowed to experience. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.